Brothers and sisters, we're going to begin today with a story. And here's how the story goes. Eli and Mortimer didn't say a word as they drove beyond the city limits and out toward the dark woods outside of town. Finding a secluded spot, they both got out of the car, and Eli stared into Mortimer's eyes, saying, "I don't want it to end this way, but I can't take care of you anymore. I can barely feed myself." Obvious as it should have been, Mortimer finally realized something was terribly wrong. He looked up into the trees and back into the man who found him orphaned, fed him, loved him, and took care of him. Both were quiet for a minute or two as the bittersweet memories took them back to the day they first met. Eli, the failing businessman, and Mortimer, the mouse. Wait, the mouse? Yes, the mouse. Here's the story. Advertising is a tough competitive industry to begin with, especially if you aren't cut out for it, and Eli had begun to think he wasn't cut out for it. Then one day the stranger wandered into a shabby office, a little gray field mouse. This gray field mouse clambered right up on the desk where Eli was working. Eli had been nursing a cheese sandwich for most of the afternoon, and thinking he could spare a small chunk, he pinched a piece off, held it between his fingers, and told the mouse, "Come on, fella, you gotta work for it." And wouldn't you know it, the tiny creature cautiously at first leaned forward and smelling the air excitedly, inch by inch, drew closer to the cheese till finally he got close enough to snatch it from his hand. Eli laughed out loud, and each day forward, the mouse ventured forth from a crack in the wall, climbed up on Eli's desk for a bite of cheese, and becoming so trusting with time, often he would curl up in the palm of Eli's hand and fall asleep. After a while, the mouse, who Eli named Mortimer, would wake up and scamper away. For Eli, the times grew harder and harder, to such a point that Eli couldn't afford the cheese sandwich, which had to sustain him until a supper of cold beans. And yet, on the brink of bankruptcy, his first concern was with Mortimer. For there was a restaurant owner who downstairs baited his traps with cheese, the same cheese Eli could no longer afford to share. So Eli decided to take Mortimer to the woods outside of town. "I want you to be careful out there," he told the little fella. And with that, Mortimer was gone. But once upon a remarkable encounter in 1923, there was a commercial artist in Kansas City who was too soft-hearted for the aggressive world of advertising. And when we reflect upon the subsequent success of Eli, Walter Eli Disney, I hope you'll remember in your mind a tiny creature sleeping in the hand who Walter Eli Disney, that is correct everyone, Walt Disney, would one day immortalize under the name his wife preferred, a creature we know as Mickey Mouse. Because now you have the rest of the story. It's a story, of course, from the voice of a man that we all know very, very well. And the voice is who? Paul Harvey. Brothers and sisters, is the God we worship sometimes sadistic? Now you may say, "Whoa, Father, that's pretty strong terminology," but I want you to bear with me today. Last Sunday in the first reading, we heard the story of Noah, the rainbow, and the covenant. Remember the story that leads up, though, to those words? Remember, God has created man and woman. He tells them to follow his way. And yet what happens, everyone, we realize that they fall. And it seems like God just becomes angrier and angrier with his creation. Till finally a man comes along after his own heart, a good man, a man named Noah. And what does God tell Noah? He says this, "I want you to build an ark." Now, everyone, I don't know how long it would take you and me today to build an ark with these dimensions. 450 feet long by 75 feet wide by 45 feet high. And along with that, everyone, remember all the animals. Think about the interior design. Where are you going to put giraffes with long necks? Where are you going to put elephants with trunks as wide as this aisle? How are you going to keep animals separate, one wanting to eat the other? And here's another thing. What do you think it was like for Noah to build the ark? Someone would come up to him and say, "Hey, Noah, what are you doing?" "I'm building an ark." "Why?" "Because God is going to destroy you and all other creation because of your own sinfulness." He'd probably walk away and think the man was mad. And yet, it happens. And after it happens, what does God say? Establishes a covenant based upon a rainbow in which he promises he will never destroy again by water. And yet, what's changed? There was sin before, there's sin after. Was God sadistic? If you think that's bad, let's move to the first reading, everyone, of today. Today, everyone, of course, we hear the story, everyone, of Abraham and Isaac. Noah's story is one thing, everyone, but today's story about Abraham and Isaac almost leaves you asking if God is really mad, if he's deranged. It's one thing for God to destroy, but for God to say, "I want you to destroy your son," you got to wonder. Now, I want to share with you, everyone, the details leading up to this first reading, and I want you to listen carefully to the words. Here it goes. God puts Abraham to the test and tells him, "Take his son Isaac to the land of Moriah and offer him as a holocaust on a height." Abraham saddles his donkey, takes Isaac with the wood he has cut, and sets out. On the third day, Abraham catches sight of the place. Thereupon, Abraham takes the wood and lays it on Isaac's shoulders. Well, he takes the fire and knife. Isaac is perplexed. "Father, what about the sacrifice?" "God will provide," says Abraham. Arriving at the place of sacrifice, Isaac ties his son to the altar on top of the wood. Don't have to tell you the rest of the story. You know how it goes. Ham's ready to go to work, and all of a sudden his hand is stayed, everyone. And in place of Isaac, a ram is sacrificed. If you don't know the story, read Genesis chapter 2. Okay? Whenever I read the story, though, I have questions. I'm going to give you three today. One, what do you think Sarah, Abraham's wife, said to Abraham before their left? Let's pretend you were going to sacrifice your son. What do you think she would say to you before you left? Yeah, don't do it. What are you thinking? Question two, how many words were exchanged between Abraham and Isaac over 3 days on the journey to Moriah? Number three, what do you think Isaac said being bound to the altar in wood? Did he scream? "Dad, why? Dad, don't do this." And it's here it seems we could put God in the realm of sadistic. Or should we? Now, everyone, the story of Abraham occurred 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. So let's fast forward ahead 2,000 years. Okay? I want to lay out from that story these words. Here they are. Test, height, Moriah's son, holocaust donkey, wood, shoulders, sacrifice, third day, ram and state. Here's every one of those in the greatest story ever told. Here we go. Son, Isaac. Son, Jesus Christ. Moriah, Jerusalem. Rise by donkey. Arise by donkey. Abraham tested. Jesus Christ tested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Wood on Isaac's shoulders. The cross on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Rise in elevation of where Abraham takes his son. Lo and behold, everyone, Calvary's on a hill outside of Jerusalem. Wood, the instrument of death. Wood, the instrument of death. Place of a holocaust, we have a crucifixion. In one, the son is spared, the hand is stayed, and a ram is sacrificed. In the other, the hand is not stayed. Hands nailed Jesus to a cross, and a son is sacrificed. And after 3 days, the return is filled with joy. Abraham brings Isaac back to Sarah, and Jesus Christ rises from the dead. Does that make God sadistic? Hardly. It tells us this: he's serious. He's serious. He's not out to destroy everyone. He's out to save. And so, everyone, I would close with this today. Whenever you hear the story of Noah's Ark, but especially when you hear that story about Abraham and Isaac, the sacrifice story, I want you to remember this. Remember the words of Paul Harvey. Now you have. In other words, please remember the rest of the story. God's blessings to you.